Street Official Black Music Month.
Street Official Real Talk.
Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk.
Hey, ever seen a Chevy with the butterfly door? Stunning is a habit. Get like me. Hey, ever seen a Chevy with a beat like me? Hey, ever seen a Chevy with a beat like me? Hey, ever seen a Chevy with the butterfly door? Stunning is a habit. Put it in the air. Stunning is a habit.
Rims. Got fadeaway money, bitch, I'm ballin' out the gym. Got my old school bumpin', hip wheel on my kind. If you think a nigga broke out, your monkey ass mind.
Real talk, real talk, real talk.
All right, y'all, I'm getting ready to close out Black Music Month. Today I got a multi-platinum artist, producer, actor, best of all, one of my homies. You never know how the conversation's gonna go when you get the two of us together. So why don't you go and speak up, man? Let the fans check this out.
What's up, world? It's your boy David Banner, Mr. Mississippi himself. The greatest story ever told. My new album coming out July 15th. So if you listening to this interview, go buy my damn album right now. You can also get it on iTunes.
Street Official Real Talk.
All right, so we got my man David Banner representing the South, man. You know, we doing Black Music Month. And before we get into that, I want to ask Banner real quick, man, what's up with you these days, man? What's new?
Honestly, my concentration has been on The Greatest Story Ever Told, my new album that's actually coming out July 15th that has Chris Brown, Akon, Snoop Dogg, Lil Wayne, you know, a couple of people. Of course, UGK, rest in peace, Pimp C. I also been working on movies. I got 4 movies coming out. You can see Black Snake Moan with me, Christina Ricci, Justin Timberlake, and the great Samuel L. Jackson. You can see that on Showtime and HBO right now. I also have the movie This Christmas, me, Idris Elba, Chris Brown, Regina King. You can get that on DVD. I got next coming up is Days of Wrath. Y'all gotta check that out. That's gonna be Our Generation, Scarface, me, Will Devon Marana, Slim Thug, Lawrence Fishburne, and Rick Ross. That's gonna be super, super jamming. I got The Comebacks. That's me and Ice Cube. You can check that movie out. I got a cartoon that's coming on Cartoon Network that's called The Crooked Sip. That's my new cartoon. Y'all gonna enjoy that. Y'all gonna love that. I just finished producing tracks for Lil Wayne, Nelly, and one of my dreams just came true. Me and one of my production partners did a track for Quincy Jones. That's right,
wow.
Y'all. I said it. Quincy Jones. I got a production team that's called The Machine. Y'all can check that out. Me and my homeboy Warren Campbell, one of my best friends in the world. Love you, dog. It goes down.
Man, I got to tell you, David Banner is probably one of the hardest working individuals I know of in the music business. Definitely the most punctual that I know, man. And I swear to you, I could tell Banner we going to hook up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever time, whatever day, Banner will be at the place 15 minutes early. If not, he's going to be on the phone, and I swear to you, man, he'll be calling you like, man, I'm over here in the middle of Afghanistan performing a concert, dog. You know, I'm just a little tired, but I'm going to be there just about 5 minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. I swear to you, man, no individual like him in the business. So let me get into some other things real quick, man. The new single, Get Like Me, go on and break that down for me.
On the new single, Get Like Me, that song is actually about, you know, just having a good time, you know, with us being in a recession, with gas prices being high.
Yes,
with
sir.
Us, you know, serving under the term of the worst president in the history of human beings. You know, it's just really hard out here, man. And I notice, you know, in most cases, music matches, you know, the mood of people. And, you know, most of our music has been real somber. But, man, you know, I want people to know that although times are hard, you know, we actually, there's actually some sunlight at the end of that dark tunnel, man. And, and Get Like Me, I just wanted to be a feel-good song, man. Like, I notice, you know, in my past, most of my music, you know, it sounds good, but, you know, it's a little bit depressing, man. And, you know, our music is supposed to set the mood. It's supposed to be the soundtrack of our life. So when I made Get Like Me, man, I wanted to be something that felt good. I wanted to be something that people could enjoy, teenagers could enjoy, old people could enjoy. And, you know, we talk about stunting as a habit. And, you know, when I say stunting, I mean, you know, not because you're showing off, but because you've been blessed. And ain't nothing wrong with showing your blessings and what God has given to you, you know, because that can be an example of if you follow God's path, you're definitely going to reap what you sow. And when you reap good things, you can also sow good things. Or when you sow good things, you reap good things, I mean. You know, and Get Like Me is just a feel-good song, man. And I enjoyed it. And I think the thing that I got out of it the most is, you know, a lot of people looked at it from the standpoint that Chris Brown helped me, you know, move to the pop side. But I was telling people, you know, just as much as Chris helped me, I helped him, you know, come to the people again, you know, because Chris had got so big. You know, it was just a blessing to see, you know, Chris just around people, man, and having a good time and not being separated. When we did the video for Get Like Me, man, I ain't gonna even lie to you, it touched me, bro, because he had a good time. He knew he was protected. The bodyguards didn't have to be all up on him, man. And he had a good time, man. And it just felt good for me to be the conduit to really bring Chris back and let him have a good time, man. And I really enjoyed that situation. And Jock came through. The Maloof brothers came through. Big shout out to the Maloof brothers. Barry Bonds. You know, it's just a feel-good song.
Man, I'm glad you brought that up, you know, and this again is back to one of those important factors I was talking about, man, about, you know, about sharing those different cultures and sharing the different music styles, man, and coming out with these black music gems, man, that bring soul to the table. You know what I mean? We've been missing that for a long time, man. I'm glad to hear you know, you guys got into that, you know, where you could actually have him be able to share that space with you, man. And let me say this real quick. You know, anybody who ever gets a chance to hang out with David Banner, man, I'm going to tell you one thing guaranteed, man, you going to have a good time. Chris Brown going to be calling you after hours, man, trying to figure out how to hook up with Banner. I guarantee that. Anyway, let me ask you a question real quick, man. Get Like Me. What's the response been like?
What has the response been like?
Banner, I want to talk to you about the new album, you know, about the title, and also, you know, what can the fans expect, you know, from you on this new album that maybe they haven't gotten before?
The name of the album is The Greatest Story Ever Told, and I named it The Greatest Story Ever Told because, you know, I think my life was more like a movie, you know, for me being from Mississippi, you know, the poorest state in the United States, me being from, you know, a state that's only connected, or people in history only connect us to the blues or to slavery. You know, it was funny, somebody told me one time, you know, who was in Africa, and it made me feel good, and it sort of made me feel bad. They said, you know, the only thing we know about Mississippi is Mississippi Burning and David Banner, you know, and, you know, I was able to be the first. You know, that's one thing I tell people all the time. You know, there's a lot of people who may sell more records than me. There's a lot of people who may do better than me as far as sales is concerned, but they'll never be the first. You know, I'm the first. I'm history. And, you know, even though I came through Steve Rifkin, you know, we didn't have the Loud moniker behind us. You know what I'm saying? SRC had just started over. So, you know, I didn't even have, you know, the benefit of being signed to a mogul because he was starting back over. You know, and then me being from Mississippi, I didn't have the hype of a big city behind me. So, like, it's always been a struggle, from sleeping in my van, from being homeless in New York, you know, for me going and just having to fight, having to produce my own tracks. You know, even to this day, I always have to start from the bottom and rebuild my name back up. But I honestly think that, you know, that's God building virtue in his son and in a man and making me be a man. You know, every time I've ever tried to take the easy route, it's always gone wrong. So in me saying that, you know, I had to name my, and I got to be honest with you, my best friend actually named the name. I mean, that gave me the title to the album. She told me, she said, all of the hell that you've been going through from label to label, from switching management, you know, from you struggling, sleeping in your van, this album is going to be the greatest story ever told. And I was like, damn. I think that's it, you know. So, great story ever told, July 15th.
Hey, man, that's powerful, you know. And let me just say this to you, man. Some of the strongest characters built by those that know how to fight from the bottom. And you can equate that to some other methods when you hear that term, fight from the bottom. You can look that up. But anyway, Banner, you know, I'm always batting on the underdog, man. You know, I got you anytime, you know what I mean? And I believe that this is going to be a historical album for you, you know, and you've been carrying a lot of weight on your shoulders, even though some people may not see that from the forefront. But man, you are one of the cornerstones to the Southern movement. You know what I mean? And folks should recognize that, you know. Real quick, I do want to ask you a couple of questions, though. First thing I want to ask you about, though, man, is like, you know, who's on the album with you this time?
Who's on the album with me? I decided actually this time not to get that many features. You know, I just said I was going to get, you know, a couple of people. All I got on this album, or only people that I have on this album, is Chris Brown, Akon, Snoop Dogg, Lil Wayne, who else? UGK, I got Candy from Escape, I have Chamillionaire on that joint, UGK. There's rumors that Nas and Rick Ross is going to be on the album, but that hadn't been confirmed yet. It's just a rumor. But, you know, the album is jamming. And what I do want people to understand, even though that you hear all these features, a lot of these people were on the same song. Oh, Young Jock. A lot of these people were on the same song. Jim Jones were on the same song. So it's like, actually, even though I have a lot of features, this actually is the album that I really took it upon myself to do most, you know, the vocals and come up with most of the concepts. And, you know, I really sort of took it back to the old David Banner, but then also moved forward at the same time. So, you know, I enjoy it. And everybody that you hear on this album is somebody that I have a relationship with. You know, I was producing on Chris Brown album at the time, and I was producing Lil Wayne's album at the time. I was producing on Snoop's album at the time. So, you know, these are all people that I have relationships with and are very close with.
Well, let me be the first one to endorse this album, man. You know, Banner came and picked me up, you know, a couple of weeks ago, man, in a spaceship, you know what I'm saying, with wheels on it, you know what I mean? And we drove around, man, for a good hour and a half, man, just listening to this album, you know, different pieces. I don't know what's going to make it and what's not. But I'm telling you, the shit was just absolute fire. You know what I mean? We got a chance to sit down and break down each song. Another thing is, I want to tell y'all, man, you know, be listening to Banner real close, because Banner will start you off with one thing and hit you with something subliminal, man, that'll make you think about what's going on in the world, changes we may be thinking about, things we may need, things you may not need. You just got to listen, man. He puts his album together like a jigsaw puzzle, man, that you just, you know, you got to, you know, it's like a movie that you can't turn and blink for a minute because you're going to miss it. You know what I mean? So I hope y'all pay attention to what I'm telling you now and look forward to catching that, the greatest story ever told. Anyway, Ben, I want to go ahead and move forward on something else real quick with you, man. You know, we're doing Black Music Month. Like I said, I got you for a reason, man. I needed somebody to represent the South that actually gives me what the South is really all about. And the thing I want to ask you right now, man, is what does Black Music Month mean to you?
Black Music Month means to me, actually, that title within itself shows us that, you know, we still have a long way to go. You know, why do we have to have Black Music Month when in actuality, Black music is the foundation to most contemporary music that we listen to.
That's right.
And me being from Mississippi, you know, I know it's the blues. You know, black people started rock and roll, which spawned into what it is today. You know, whatever kind of music you really name, for the most part, there's some connection to Black people. Or there's some connection to Africa, there's some connection to Mississippi, there's some connection to Georgia, there's some connection to Tennessee, Louisiana. So, you know, and people talking about Black history or Black Music Month, you know, and why is it usually when it's cold or when the weather bad? Why don't you have Black Music or Black History Month during the summertime? We want to be outside, man. But nah, you know, saying that, man, it makes me sad to a certain degree because, you know, Black people are music, and music was the only thing that really got us, you know, got us through. America was built, you know, on the soundtrack, or the soundtrack of America being built was Black music, because, you know, in most cases white people were probably partying, but we was working. to our music, man. So, you know, we still got a long way to go.
Real talk, real talk, real talk.
Gotta say, I agree with your points on that, Banner, you know, and as much as I agree with that, you know, we take the opportunity to you know, use a month like this, man, to be on the spotlight and to focus and show our greatness, you know what I mean? I appreciate you taking the time and be honest, you know, about your opinions. I know you're gonna do that anyway, but I'm just letting you know, man, I'm very appreciative to hear, you know, such honesty, you know. If I could, I'd like to ask you, you know, in your own words, you know, what do you think the greatness is that the South has offered to Black music?
I mean, the greatness that the South has offered to Black music should be evident. I remember one time I had an argument with a New York producer one time, well, some New York cats when I was in college. They were talking about, well, the South producers, they don't do this and they don't do that. And I asked him, I was like, what's your favorite producer? And guess what he said? Primo from Gangsta.
You know that's loaded.
I say, boy, that boy from Prairie View, Texas, man. You know, then he hollered. He said, the RZA. And I said, man, where all the samples come from that RZA sample from? And he started naming them, and every one of the artists was from the South. You know what I'm saying? Or from Southern soul music. You know, whether it's James Brown or whoever you name, for the most part, bro, these are people who were from the South or directly influenced by Southern music. You know, black music is the South, whether people want to admit it or not. You know, even if you look at the Black Exodus and you look at the main vein of music is the Mississippi River. You know, through jazz and through blues and through just that Black Exodus and people moving from the pain of the South and taking that pain and that rhythm from the South and moving and it becoming a hybrid form of music somewhere else. But if you really look at the core of music, I tell people sometimes when they talk about rap music and, you know, rap music started in the Bronx, I tell them, I said, that may be true, but you have to look. You have to look at the darkness before the light. You know, what influenced that? What do you call what James Brown was doing? You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, it damn sure sounded right. Like rap to me. Don't sound like rap to you. Sound like rap to me. You know what I'm saying? So I look at it from the standpoint of the foundation of most of our music, man, or most music in the world is black music. And, you know, that's one reason why I feel like this generation that we're going to have to do a little bit better in just bringing music. Because my mother told me one time, she said, if you sample all the time, who going to sample you? You got to give people something to sample too.
Wow. So,
and me saying that, you know, just I think our generation has to do a little bit better. And hopefully the greatest story ever told will be a step in the right direction. And you can get that on July 15th.
Yes, sir. So, Banner, I wanted to ask you, you know, like, how does black culture of the South affect the music of the South? You know what I mean? So if I'm looking at, you know, black churches and soul food and black colleges and the marching bands and the entire culture of the South, how does that influence the music of the South?
I think it's the exact opposite. I think the South affects that music. I believe the situations that we come out of, you know, if you listen to my first album and people said it was so soulful, that came from pain. I'm gonna tell y'all something real quick. The only common thread that men have in life, whether black, white, Latino, wherever they are, is pain. That's the only thing, because everybody gonna die. And everybody knows somebody that's dead or that's gonna die real soon. So in me saying that, what music is directly connected with pain? The blues. You know, so everybody has lost something. You can't control another human being, which is also synonymous with pain. So in me saying that, I don't think that, you know, those things affect Southern music. I think the South affects those things, whether it's marching band, soul food, whatever that situation may be. Because again, I'll go back to saying that our music was just the soundtrack of America during those hard days, man. You know what I'm saying? And in me saying that, you know, whether it was those Negro spirituals, whether it was, you know, when the slaves was out in the field and they, you know, they couldn't lash back out on the slave master. So, you know, that music and that pain, which you could look at crunk music or hyphy music or whatever, that's just that we can't quite put our hands on the cops yet, or we can't put our hands around America neck per se. But we sure can make this music, you know. So I think the South affects the music more than the music affects the South.
So, Banner, when you reflect back about being a kid, man, I want to ask you, you know, what is it that you remember in terms of the music? What do you remember hearing back on the old school record player and the tape decks or whatever in your mother's house or in your children, you know, in your background as a child, man? What was the soundtrack to your early childhood?
Oh, when I was a child, what kind of music did I hear in my home? That's a good question, because I tell people a lot of times when they ask me about my production and they ask me why my production is so strange. First of all, I'm from Mississippi, so you can't get away from gospel music and you can't get away from the blues, whether you like it or not. Whether it's when you go outside, your mama playing it, or when you go to church, you have to be influenced by those two things, first of all, just to start off. Okay, then... And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I hate Lou Rawls.
Oh, come on, man.
Not because he's not a good artist, because that's all my damn daddy played every day. He
wouldn't stop playing Lou Rawls, damn it. You'll never find. I hear it now. Love, like,
and I'm gonna tell you what was a big influence on me also, MTV music, because that's when MTV was first really getting off, and that's when music like The Police and Aha and stuff like that. I was Boy George in the Culture Club, like I couldn't get away from that, because you know I had to watch it. We were watching MTV, and that's why when people ask me who are my favorite groups are UGK, Outkast, Curtis Mayfield, and The Police. Like, I remember when I first, you know, heard Everything She Does Is Magic, and, you know, how that influenced me. And then I became a producer, or my uncle had brought down a lot of records, you know, and I had Tila Rock, Stetsasonic, music like that, you know. And then, of course, we had local music, you know, just in our region. You know what I'm saying? I was popping off local rap in the South. So it was like just about everything, you know, country and Western music from the white people that was, you know, just in Mississippi. So it was like the crazy thing about being from Mississippi, although we were poor, I think I got a lot more musically. Because even if you think about it, when the East Coast was popping, they were playing East Coast on our records stations. We didn't have no choice. The South really didn't start playing Southern music until the mid-90s.
Right.
Or the late 90s. When the West Coast started popping, we had to listen to West Coast. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like we were forced to listen to every kind of music in Mississippi. And that is the reason why in the South we're so diverse, because we had to listen to all types of music. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to ask you a question, Banner, and this one is an obvious answer for me, probably for most of the fans, but I just got to get your response, as ridiculous as the question may sound. But I want to ask you, man, you know, how much of the South influences your choice of music making, man? You know what I mean? And not every artist actually represents where they're from, and I'm not saying that you have to, because music is actually global, but I'm wondering how much of the South transmits through your music.
What kind of question is that? I'm from the South. I can't help but bleed out of my pores,
man.
Southern music. But one type of music that I can say affected me that a lot of people don't talk about was bounce music in New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
You know, and people who don't know about my bounce music, you maybe know about Second Line. You know what I'm saying? It's like I went to school at Southern University in Baton Rouge. So, like, I was really, really deeply affected by bounce music. You know what I'm saying? So that's another type of music that you can add on top of rap. And, you know, then I went through my techno stages when I was listening to 808 State and stuff like Bjork. And, you know, then I got into, you know, the blues real heavy because of sampling and you know, Howlin' Wolf and, you know, different people. Of course, the great B.B. King.
Yes, sir.
You know, then I start learning about Coltrane. So it's like, as far as me, I can't help but be influenced by the South, because I am Southern. That's just a part of my life. You know, whether I like it or not, it's going to come through. You know, just rhythm and soul. And I think that's what separates Southern people, just that soul in their music, that bass line. I think it's that bass, that bass guitar, man. It's just... it's something about that bass, man. It's something about that 808 tone, man. You know what I'm saying? It warms your speakers up. Like, does Southern music influence me? No, it doesn't influence me. I am the South. I live the South. I'm from the South. It can't help but influence me.
So check this out. In saying that, you know, I want to talk to you about Howlin' Wolf, man. And, you know, I heard some things about you doing some research for some very specific reasons. I want to know if you can, you know, kind of share a little bit of that information with us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was doing a, it's funny, man. I got to say this. It must be meant for me to play Howlin' Wolf or sample some Howlin' Wolf, because I was approached two separate times to play Howlin' Wolf in the movie. People say that we have a lot of similarities, especially before I cut my beard and the way that I perform in my shows and being outspoken. My research on Howlin' Wolf is that he wasn't the flashy one, just like me. You know what I'm saying? Before
this album. he was about his money. While everybody else was trying to flash, you know, he didn't sell as many records as a lot of other people, but he brought home a lot more money. And he saw how the record labels was raping him and the rest of his partners, and he decided early that he was going to save his money.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I learned about Howlin' Wolf that and where we were similar is that back in the day, I used to spit fire. I used to jump out in the crowd and start fights. I would do anything to capture people's imaginations and even to a certain degree scare them.
Right.
You know? And Howlin' Wolf did the same thing. His shows were savage. He howled like a wolf. You know what I'm saying? I guess that'd be like, he go, oh! That's like me going, yeah! You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just thought about that. It's a parallel between me and his life in a strange way.
I hope I make a whole lot more money than he do. I hope the end of my story is a lot brighter.
And I think it's inevitable that it will be because me studying him and learning about his life, you know, I would be a fool to go in the same bad direction, but I can definitely take the positive stuff away from him. So, like, studying Howlin' Wolf was great, and I would ask people of our generation to study, you know, other artists. And I think that's what production did for me. I am a student of music. I am a historian when it comes to music. If it's some record, I went up into Stax Records, and I actually have some albums that they don't have in their archive because of me having all the albums that I sample from, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So, like, as far as the Howlin' Wolf situation is concerned, it was definitely a big influence for me.
So, Banner, let's move forward then, man. The New South, I want to ask you, man, in your opinion, who you think represents the New South, man, the way that it ought to be done?
I mean, that's hard for me to say because I would say, you know, the New South, I wouldn't necessarily just say is the South. I think it's just a brand, a new type of artists that are coming out. And these type of artists are coming out from the East, West, and the South, and the Midwest. You know, I call them a lot of makeshift artists, you know what I'm saying, with ready-made artists, kit artists, sort of how they build the McDonald's, and they build the McDonald's and the Burger Kings where they be up in 2 weeks. You know, that's one thing that I see, you know, that I don't like from a negative perspective because, you know, you ask a lot of rappers hit the history of rapper or you look to them for some substance and it's not there.
Right.
You know, that's and I partially blame our parents for that because, you know, where's the history? I just made a song recently called So Long, and I'm talking about, you know, where's the substance in our music? You know, Sean Bell was just murdered. You know, there was an elderly lady that was 92 years old, you know, that got killed in Northwest Atlanta. You know, like, where's the social commentary in our music? You know, and I'm not saying that that's a reflection of the South. I'm saying that's the reflection of our generation.
Yes, sir.
You know, and but as far as the New South is concerned, I really think just the New South is just, you know, businessmen. And I can respect that because you have young men that are doing the same thing that corporate white people have been doing us. Corporate white people don't care about music and how good it sounds. They care about how many records you sell. They care about how many people you influence. They care about sound scan, you know? And you got artists who are catering to that, and you can't blame them, you know? But the one thing that I would hope is that, you know, we get control of our music again because it's dying. We have allowed our music to be reduced to a download.
And I'm going to say this to add to your point, Banner. You know, it's the same thing I mentioned to you, you know, a couple of weeks ago, man. We were sitting down talking. And I'm really going to put this out to the listeners, and I'm not even going to answer from my perspective. My statement is, you know, if you're willing to do anything to make money, you know, it really kind of makes a real belittling statement about who you are as a person, as well as an artist or whatever else. It actually question marks who you are as an artist if you're willing to do anything to make money. But here's my ultimate question. And again, I'm not going to answer this. But if you take the power of a Martin Luther King and a Malcolm X, and if they had reversed their statements going back, you know, 40 years ago, and all they had to say was keep hustling, you know, keep pimping, you know, bitches and hoes ain't shit, whatever. You know, if that was the message that they had driven into our parents, what would that mean for us now? Where would we be at right now? If we crying about what's happening with the state of black folks now, I'm just curious if the two people that had the biggest voices of, you know, the 20th century for black folks had actually put out messages like that, where we'd be. And in saying that, asking the artists themselves to consider the fact of balance, what does that mean when I've got now hundreds of little speakers running around that do anything to sell for a dollar, which then means what are you willing to do to sell your folks out? And my question is, what do you think the impact of that is to the generation to follow and so on and so on? As I said, this is not a question I'm pointing at you, Banner. It's not a question I'm pointing at myself. I'm asking the listeners to consider what I'm asking and just think about that for a second. Anyway, let me keep moving though, man. I'm not trying to turn this into too much of a political commentary, but I want to ask you this real quick. Anything you want to mention before we get out of here, man?
What do I want to talk about in this interview? July 15th, the greatest thing that has ever happened in your feeble life is happening. You will be reborn to Bannerism, the new religion that will change your life, peasant. July 15th, the greatest story ever told. What else I want to talk about? No, I just want to talk about, I want to thank all the fans who hear my voice right now. I want to thank all the DJs, you know. I want to thank, you know, all the people who invested their life for me to be where I am right now, because I'm from Mississippi, and I realize how much of a blessing it is for me to be in the position that I'm in. And I also appreciate my fans, bruh, for opening up their minds and allowing me to talk about more. You know, because a lot of people thought, you know, to a certain degree, that I was trying to cross over, I was trying to do this or that. I was just trying to make better music. And, you know, I don't want to have to always be the old David Banner. I'm growing up now. I'm becoming more talented. There's more things on my mind that I want to talk about. I remember an age in music where the artist dictated the streets, and it seems like now the streets are dictating the artist. And I just want to be just that. I want to be an artist. I want to influence people. I want to make people think different, even if they don't agree with me. Because sometimes I say some stuff that I don't even agree with, but I say it to spark conversation. I say it to spark interest. And I thank everybody who has given me the opportunity to do that. And if you find it in your heart, go buy my album. You know, if you don't like rap music and you just like me as a person, buy my album. And if you hate me, go buy my album and break it. But go buy it. And God bless. I love y'all. Rest in peace, Pimp C. Rest in peace to my father, Zeno Crump. Rest in peace to Miss Shula, who just died. Rest in peace to Eloise Bryant, and it's my year. Watch me.
Real talk, real talk. Ricky
Rose, T-Pain. I got a fresh line up, yeah, fresh outfit. About to have a parking lot on smash. Plus, I got a 7 with a 454 in the hood. That bitch got 125 on the dash.
I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far.
Cause it's just another day in the life of the goddamn boss.
I don't make love, baby, we make magic. Come home with a thug, let's get shit cracking. Always well plastic, baby, cause shit happens. She leave the back seat just a freak in the Magnum. Hopped out the Magnum, hopped in the tray just to let the top back and thank God for the day. Who gives a fuck what a hater gotta say? I made a couple $1 million last year dealing with
real talk, real talk, real talk, real talk.
I told her back it up like burp, burp. And I made that ass jump like jerk.
What's up? This is David Banner. You are now tuned in to Real Talk on iTunes, baby. What up, G? You know what I'm talking about? Thank y'all. This is your boy, David Banner. Omnipotence in your life. Do you feel me permeating through your skin? Understand what it is. Real Talk on iTunes. Bow down to something greater than yourself, peasants. Yeah.
Street official. Real Talk.